under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you come on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues. We'll be talking about an exciting, educative, inspirational, informational subject today. We're talking about what is biblical worship. What is biblical worship? I pray that you have pondered that. I pray that you have an answer for that. I pray that if you have questions in relationship to the doctrine of biblical worship, that you'll call in. Let's discuss it. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 831-0917, area code 904. Delighted to have you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion on this very, very important subject, this issue of the doctrine of biblical worship. What is biblical worship? We'll talk about that. Churches across America today having meetings on Sunday morning, some Sunday nights, and some even Wednesday nights. In fact, that was the old school approach to worship. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Wednesday evening worship. Perhaps the most understood of the many doctrines that are misunderstood is that of biblical worship. Today's modern woke progressive churches are having great shows, wild performances, lots of entertainment. But we need to examine all of this in the light of the Word of God. Is that truly worship? What is worship? We'll talk about that today. We're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call in, join the dialogue and discussion. But let me remind you once again, as we do each and every day on this broadcast, as we face the issues, we do so based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Truth Book, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, as we used to sing in Vacation Bible School. The Scripture says in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. And then Jesus makes a definitive statement in John 14:6. He says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It is the truth book. We live in a society today where truth is not really recognized, and those that recognize it want to seem and act offended by it. In fact, a major attack today in the woke culture in which we're living in is an attack on the freedom of speech, because the mindset today, if you say something that counters what I believe or what I want to stand for, then it is hate speech, and your speech should not be allowed, but my speech should be allowed. I hope you understand that play on the terms. There's a mindset today that despises truth. In fact, it goes back to the secularist George Orwell that made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be true today, if I can say that. In fact, most young Americans today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, the millennials, 55% of them say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as having different versions of truth. Truth is truth. You can't change, for example, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, modulate it, water it down based on your own beliefs, your own sense of feelings about it. Oh, yes, multitudes do that. Doesn't mean it is correct. Doesn't mean it is truth. Doesn't mean that it's right. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement. He said, and may I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." May I challenge you with that? In fact, as historians tell us, when Jan Hus was being burned at the stake, he screamed out, "Truth shall prevail. Truth shall prevail." We need to take that honorable stand, I believe, today, and stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. That same knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark identifier, 165-foot flagpole, the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24-7. The base of that flagpole, you can find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open. Our telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about today, what is biblical worship? We're talking about the doctrine of worship. Ladies and gentlemen, today's modern woke progressive churches are what I call having a great show, wild performances, lots of entertainment. But as we examine it and scrutinize it under the eye of a central biblicist worldview, we need to look at what the Bible says about worship. A biblical theology of worship of God is based on what the Word of God says, not what is being done today. Biblical worship, in many occasions, is totally different from what we see taking place that we call worship. Dr. Vodi Bachman, that's VodiBachman. Dr. Vodi Bachman, you can watch him online. Dr. Bachman says, and I quote, excitement is not worship. Volume of music is not, singing is worship, not worship. Sweat is not an indication of worship. A room filled with smoke from a smoke machine is not worship, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, he just described what is taking place in so many of our churches today, and it's called worship. A lot of frenzy, a lot of action, a lot of movement, a lot of motion, a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, entertainment, but can we call it worship? That's my question. Think of how many churches today use smoke, loud music, unintelligible music, people falling on the floor in a frenzy and calling that worship. I am concerned, ladies and gentlemen, today's modern churches painting the inside of the buildings black and calling it worship center, putting strobe lights in, flashing lights, smoke machines, with the music amped up so high that you cannot stand the sound of it, the lyrics that you can't understand. And we call that worship. That's what we're going to talk about today. Perhaps you've got questions that you would like to ask. Perhaps you'd like to call in and give your input on what we're talking about. I'm delighted to have with us today Dr. Glenn Davis. Dr. Davis, welcome today as we face the issues and talk about biblical worship.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. I honor the Lord on today for being real in my life, and this is what it's all about.
Amen.
Amen. God has to be real in our lives in order for us to worship Him.
That's right.
Dr. Youngblood, in your monologue, I heard you say, and you were explaining about how today everybody has their own version of truth.
That's right.
Also, everybody has their own version of worship.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
But we must understand that Jesus had it right in the first beginning. Mm-hmm. When he approached the Samaritan woman at the well, he said, "Ye worship, ye know not what."
That's it.
And it's going to come a day in time when you're not going to worship God in this place, neither in the temple, just paraphrasing, amen, what the scripture said. But he said that God is the spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
So therefore, we need for everyone to know that in order for you to worship God truthfully, you must be filled with his spirit and make that connection and walk in fellowship with the Godhead, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So make no mistake about it. Amen. There's only one way to worship God, and it's got to be through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Being filled with his spirit.
Amen.
So I want to say good morning, amen, to my bride of 37 years and all my family and friends and everyone else that's listening in. And we pray that you will take notes on today and be encouraged.
Yes.
Amen. And know and understand, amen, that if you are not worshiping God in the way that the scripture says, amen, then you need to get it right.
Get it
and
right.
And get in step with God. Amen.
Amen. I like that statement, Pastor Davis. We have a lot of people today, I believe, that's showing a lot of emotion. And I think much of what we see today is based on entertainment.
Amen.
And entertainment. A mindset that somehow, some way, we need to be entertained and call that worship. I'm appalled by the people, man-centered focus for worship.
Amen. Amen.
One of the things also, when we talk about worship, I think sometimes in our minds and in the thoughts of multitudes, we just want to relegate that to Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I'm appalled by the number of people that will have a frenzied celebration on Sunday, a show of piety in their outward appearance and their activity. And then for the balance of the week, it's as though there's no God at all.
Yes.
As though there's no God at all. So it goes back to the focus of worship cannot be from a heart that is absent of having God or not knowing Jesus Christ. It must be from a relationship to God through Jesus Christ that we're able to truly worship.
Amen.
I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning. And good to hear your voice, both of you, and for you two to be together on this issue.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe that when we worship in the church or in our home, that we have a grateful submission for God being God. Mm. I can't see how they, with loud noise, how can you submit and humble yourself unto our Creator?
Amen.
How can you go into the? How can you go in to him to the point that you don't want to come out with a lot of stuff going on around you?
Amen.
And it, even in the church, when it's a humbleness in there, and even for his Shekinah glory to just go over you, and people can lay, they can go to the altar, but it's not a fast. I mean, it's just too much chaos sometimes in the church right now.
Terry, I think you hit it spot on with what you're saying. And what you're saying, if I can reiterate that in this fashion to get your thoughts, what you're saying is we have too much entertainment, too much show and shine, too much noise, if you will, too much movement today to be able to call that true worship. We, as Dr. Davis quoted earlier in the text, that it is with the spirit It is with the inner man, the inner person, yes, that true worship takes place, and not with the outward show. Because we can go back to Scripture and find Scripture after Scripture after Scripture where there's the admonition of hypocrisy, of the show and shine, of the phoniness, mm-hmm, of the attitude that I'm worshiping and I'm showing a sign of piety. I believe that's what you're saying, and I'm in full agreement with that. And I think we find too much of that today. Go ahead.
Can I say one more thing,
yes,
please?
Go right ahead.
It wouldn't be so many sick people. Because with God in the presence, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the angels ministering, there's no telling what could happen in the church if we just open up our hearts, just pay homage unto God, the Creator. And if the Holy Spirit say that be the whole service, so be it. It doesn't have to be without music, but it be mellow, it be able to talk to God, to stroke Him. You know, it's missing. Not saying absent. It's not in some churches, but
it's absent in most cases.
Amen.
That we call worship.
Amen.
Most of the time, yes, most services today is going through a program, a protocol, a pretense, a show and shine that does not, mm-hmm, indicate real, heartfelt, spiritual worship.
Amen.
And I believe we've,
yes,
come a long way from the biblical concept, yes, of the doctrine of worship. Terry, thank you so much for your input.
Thank you.
You're right on.
So much.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you. Keep looking up today. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question, comment, please.
Blood.
Jim, are you
Dr.
present?
Davis.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Dr. Youngblood, Dr. Davis, good morning. I would like to ask a question here. And I know a lot of the newer age churches use this verse in justification there, and that would be 2 Samuel 6, chapter 6, verses 14 through 22, specifically that David danced and leapt before the Lord with all of his might. Can you give us your, you and Dr. Davis there, please give us your interpretation and how they would use this verse to justify that type of service?
Jim, that's a wonderful question. I've dealt with it many, many times. It's one of the most misunderstood, most misinterpreted, most abused text in all the Bible. It says that David, in fact, you can talk about people ask the question of dancing in the church. Right, there are seminaries, Bible colleges today, that teach church dance for worship, which is totally antithetical to the scripture. The context and the setting of the text you're speaking of, the ark was finally coming back into Jerusalem. David looked out of his palace window, saw it coming back in. 30,000 men, the scripture says in that text, 30,000 men in a parade with the ark before them. The ark was a symbol of the presence of the Lord. David saw this. He rejoiced. He ripped off his outer kingly robe, ran down the stairs, ran out to the streets, not in the church, not in the temple, out into the streets, got in front of the ark and danced. The word dance means to writhe, W-R-I-T-H-E, means he leapt up in the air, twisted, came back down on his feet. That's dancing according to the understanding of the definition of the word. And it was before. The word before is the word pros, means in front of the Lord. The Lord being represented in his presence in the ark. So here's the picture. David saw the ark coming in. He rejoiced that it was finally coming back to Jerusalem. That's a long, long story, but it's coming back to Jerusalem. He goes and gets in front of the parade, leads 30,000 men in the street, not in church, not in the temple, leads 30,000 men, not men and women, leads 30,000 men as he's jumping up and down with joy that the ark is coming back into Jerusalem. That's the scene. That's the setting. That's the only interpretation of the word study in the text. And yet most people today that will dance in church and call it worship, it is crude. It's rude. It's unbiblical. It is absolutely grotesque for that to be done. And yet it's being done today under the guise that it's part of biblical worship. It is not biblical worship. I hope that is clear.
Well, I just wanted to ask the question because I knew it needed to be clarified, and I'm not the only person that's probably, you know, sat back and thought that.
Yes,
I've never found
now.
Dancing to be a form of worship there. Although, however, I would say I would like to have seen that dance because it says that David danced with all of his might, and he was known as a very mighty man. I mean, this man was able to slew a giant, and, you know, David had his tens of thousands as opposed to Saul's thousands. Mm-hmm. So
that means
it must have been quite an impressive
sight. Absolutely. And what you're saying is that impressive sight, perhaps he was leaping like a gazelle because of his strength and his power. So he was a dancing person, but it was in the streets, on the sidewalk, as we'd call it today, not in the church, not in the temple, not in a worship service.
Amen.
And I use the illustration, Jim, by the way, many times. Let's just say that you go to the mailbox, you open the mailbox, there's a letter in there, you open the letter, it's got a $10,000 check. What do? You jump up and down. You say, praise the Lord. You're not in worship service. You're praising the Lord. You're not in church. You're not in the temple, but you're leaping, dancing before the Lord.
Yes, sir. That's called a skip in your step there, sir. I think that's
you got
the
it.
Word
Absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely. You're on target with that. Thank you so much, Jim, for your comments, for your input. Keep praying. Keep looking up as we
you
serve
too,
the
sir.
Lord together. Thank you, and God bless you. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, do you have a question or comment?
Oh, am I going to get y'all in trouble with this question? You ready?
I'm ready. I'll let Dr. Davis handle if it's a problem.
What do we think about women talking in church?
Well, that's a broad question. I can narrow it down. The scripture is very, very clear in the Timothy text that a woman is not to have authority over the man, that she's not to have the position and the authority of pastoring, preaching, teaching from the standpoint of being the pastor, the leader, spiritual leader in the church. Women, and by the way, you can go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, and the trilogy of those three chapters clarify it very, very, very much. But listen, there's some churches, some denominations that have become so legalistic that a woman can't pray in church, that a woman cannot speak in church, that a woman cannot teach Sunday school in church, that a woman cannot lead ladies into church. That's not what the scripture is saying at all. It's that the woman should not have the authority over man. And God said it, codified in the Timothy text. And by the way, just if you go back to just some pronouns, masculine pronouns, that talking about the head of the church, the pastor, that he must be the head of the church and the husband of one wife. Now, if you're a lady pastor, you can't be the husband of one wife unless you've been modified in the new transitional move that you find today. And I hate to think of it in that fashion. But Bob, you're exactly right. What we're finding today is a getting away from a modulation of biblical truth. And the further we get from the centrality of truth, the more we will embrace and accept things that you give back to the fundamental rudimentary elements of the scripture that you find are not there. That's the problem with it. And some have said, well, the Apostle Paul said that. Jesus didn't. It was because Paul hated women that he said that. No, it goes back to the fact that God used man to write the words. God gave Paul the words. Paul didn't just pull words out of thin air. They were given to him by the Holy Spirit of God. He wrote the words. It's codified in the scripture. It is the doctrine of the Word of God, and therefore we need to adhere to what God's Word says. Bob, I hope that is a blessing and a benefit to you, and I pray
right,
that you'll
you,
keep
Pastor.
Thank you. God bless you. I hope you'll stay tuned in. Get others to join in the broadcast each day. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question and comment, please.
Please.
Hello?
Hello?
I think
Hello,
we've evidently
kind of echo.
I think we've lost the caller.
Dr. Youngblood. That's
not me. Kenneth, no. Are you on the air? On the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go right ahead with the question or comment.
I agree with you, and I agree with the two callers that went before. And I just want to give an opinion. Why, and I apologize for this, but why every time they try to attack Trump, his ratings go higher? and they're trying to get off of Hunter Biden. And like I said, I want to give kudos to that judge that said, no, you still under investigation? No. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give him a plea deal. What you think about that? And really, what was it? Texas and Arizona, they was putting up buoys, I think it was, to stop people from coming over. But the government wanted to sue them. They said they're going to sue the government.
Well, I think very, very quickly, our time is dissipating, but let me say this. You're exactly right. We're watching a political charade. We're watching the political move today where the political party that's in vogue is able to prosecute, persecute, and destroy their one that is running against them, and that's what they're attempting with Donald Trump. It'll fail. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but my position is that Donald Trump will be the victor in the 2024 election. There will not be a trial before the election. After the election takes place, he can vindicate himself, or at the very least, the U.S. Supreme Court will vacate all of the charges, because there's not a single charge or single element of a single charge that will stand muster under the Constitution of the United States of America. So I'm looking forward to what God's going to do as he intervenes in this in the days, weeks, and the months that are before us. And so I'm thankful that God is still on the throne. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Looking forward to what God's going to do in the days before us. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are including so many fleshly things that they want to put in the churches due to the lack of Bible knowledge or the members in the church. Mm-hmm. And many of the leaders that we have are lukewarm. They don't have a call from God, and they just place there. And what they teach and what they talk is not coming out of the scripture. They just want to be loved. They just want to be, you know, they don't want to offend anybody, and they want to appease everybody. The gospel, when you speak the truth, is divisive with those that want to accept it and those who want to reject it. There's no other way around it. And I think that's a problem that we have. I mean, I was a Catholic for so many years, and thank to God's mercy, he saved me. But I mean, I hear so many preachers saying that those are my brothers. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Have you been a Catholic? They still pray the rosary. They believe in purgatory, that you pay money, they take your soul from purgatory, and they send it to heaven. That's not in the scripture. But many people in the evangelical community, they don't have the idea as to what the Bible says. I hear an editor-in-chief of one of the biggest magazines, he became a Catholic. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, you were a Catholic. You know what they believe in. They put their faith in one man, and that guy needs to repent because he's as lost as anybody else, the Pope. But
that's
you
right.
Got so-called evangelicals. My point is the lack of knowledge of the Bible, brother, is huge. And many people, they are going back. They are joining the Catholic Church. They don't have nothing to offer. All they have to do is rituals, pray to Mary, pray to saints. But the problem is this generation, not all of it, they don't know what the Bible says about those things. And nobody wants to talk about it because they, oh, no, no, those are my brothers. Let me tell you something. They're not my distant cousins. I was a Catholic. I had a brother that was a priest, and I know what the practice, and everything is against the Bible. That's my comment, brother. Thank you very much.
Jose, you're exactly right, and if I could elongate that for just a moment before our top of the news, top of the hour break for the news. One of the problems, as you articulated so clearly, is the anemia in the Word. Most of these that have the rock and roll service, and they call it worship, there's an anemia in the Word of God. And you can listen to some of these, if I can use this term, some of these dudes with their knee holes or the knees or their britches ripped out with their hooks in their nose and the ears and the tattoos all over their body as they preach and teach. They do not know what sound doctrine is about. And those that are listening are anemic of the Word, ignorant of the Word, immature in the Word, and they will accept and embrace anything that's called worship today because of anemia in the Word. So you're exactly right, Jose. There's a need to get back to the Word, the expository preaching, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, in the Word of God that will grow people in the faith to understand what God's Word is saying. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute top-of-the-hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. America's employers grew their payrolls by 187,000 jobs last month, with 209,000 new hires in the month of June. The unemployment rate fell a tenth of a point, down to 3.5% in July from June's 3.6%. Many of last month's new hires came in the areas of financial services and health care. He wants to get Jack Smith before the House Judiciary Committee. Florida Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz accusing the special counsel of conducting a political witch hunt targeting former President Trump. Gaetz says if Smith refuses to consent to an interview before the committee, a subpoena should be issued. Gas prices continue to rise. This morning, AAA has the national average for a gallon of regular at $3.83. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 147 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Pastor Davis today. We're talking about a subject that I believe every Christian in particular needs to understand. We need to grasp what is biblical worship. Let me share a brief, elongated definition. Then I'm going to ask Dr. Davis to respond with comments for us. I asked the question, what is biblical worship? The word worship means to reverence God, to fear God, to pay homage to God, to render honor and adore God. Jesus, in fact, warned of vain, false, hypocritical worship in Matthew 18, verse 8 and 9. Pastor Davis, read that. Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. I think that we need to understand there's a form of worship that is false, phony, hypocritical, nothing more than entertainment that we see taking place today in so many of our churches.
Amen. Matthew 15, verse 8.
8 and 9.
This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Comment on that, Pastor. What does it mean? How does that apply to what we're talking about today?
Well, basically, Dr. Youngblood, I mean, I spoke a message on last Sunday week at the church. Does anybody have the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
We have to know and understand when it comes down to worship, as we said at the beginning of the program, that one must be filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we must keep worship in context with Scripture.
That's right.
Now, there is a difference in worship and praise.
That's right.
I do know that Psalm 149 and 3 say, praise him in the dance.
Mm-hmm.
So now when we connect that with what we were talking about, with what David did when he danced out of his clothes, he was not in the temple.
Not in the temple, not in the worship service.
So again, when it comes down to this, there's a controversy there because so many people are teaching for commandments, mm-hmm. the doctrines of men.
Right.
When we look at, I heard you say it earlier, and I've seen it done in many churches that I've been in, and many times I started to just get up and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, because of their lack of knowledge in the Scripture, and I don't want to call anybody ignorant because it sounds degrading, but that's kind of what it is.
Right.
Basically,
Well,
the Apostle Paul said,
if I can jump in, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 said, I would not have you to be ignorant.
Would not
brethren.
Have you to be ignorant.
Now,
amen.
He didn't say, would not have you ignorant, brethren.
Amen.
He said, I would not have you to be ignorant
amen.
Of the Scripture, of the truth.
Amen. But we're not trying to cut anyone down.
Right.
But we want you to know it's very important for you to keep it in context with the Scripture.
Right.
But I've known of churches and organizations that teach people how to speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
They teach people how to dance.
Mm-hmm.
I've been taught this, you know, mm-hmm. in my years of coming up amongst the elders. If the Spirit of God is not on you, sit down.
Right.
Don't even get up there to preach
mm-hmm.
because you're doing it in your own strength.
Right. And
you're using your own
today.
Ingenuity. In mm-hmm. other words, you're not allowing the Spirit to give you
mm-hmm.
what you need to give to God's people. I think it was Sister Terry, the one that called a little bit earlier,
right.
that said that when the Spirit of God is there, if we let the Spirit have free course in the churches, we never know when God's going to supernaturally do something.
Mm-hmm.
Some people need healing. Some people just need a word. I mean, there's physical healing. There's spiritual healing. You know, some people may be down and out. They might just need a word to pick them up and heal their souls.
And
but we got to let the Spirit do the work.
And the design purpose of preaching is to do all that you just said.
Amen.
In the
Amen.
Hearts and the lives of the individual.
Amen. So Christ was coming down on the scribes and Pharisees here because they were teaching from the Old Testament, and nobody was able to keep the words from the Old Testament. That's why he came in the first beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because even today, you and I, Dr. Youngblood, we are not able to keep everything that the Old Testament said.
Impossible.
If we had to live by eye for eye or tooth for tooth, it'd be a lot of dead Christians
today.
It'd be
gone. That's right. Absolutely.
Amen. Mm-hmm. But because the grace, the truth, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came and brought that on the scene and he fulfilled all the Scripture through his life, death, burial, and resurrection, then all we have to do is believe in his finished work.
Believe in
God. And I thank God
absolutely.
For that.
Absolutely. Pastor, I'm looking at an article, and I quoted Vody Bachman earlier. Here's an article. Vody Bachman identifies three red flags. Churches are capitulating to modern neo-Marxist ideology. Let me just read this three brief paragraphs out of a three-page article. Prominent pastor and author Vody Bachman has identified three signs a church is abandoning scriptural truth for modern neo-Marxist ideology in a culture where truth is under attack and Christianity is increasingly marginalized. Highlighting several concerning trends in modern churches that he fears are eroding the foundation of Christianity, beginning with the de-emphasis on the Bible. The de-emphasis on the Bible, where there is a lack of commitment to systematic teaching of expository preaching and teaching of the Word of God. There's not a commitment to a systematic exposition of the Word. And what we hear from pulpits today is rooted and grounded more in psychology and philosophy than the text and the theology of the Scripture itself. The second red flag includes the church's alignment with post-Christian culture. Bachman noted that some leaders preach messages that resonate with the values and agenda of the secular world. including the LGBTQ issues, and not the Word of God. We're apologizing, he goes on to say. We're apologizing for the creation myth. We're apologizing for the gospel. We're apologizing for Christian morality. These sorts of things, these are some of the signs that have gone very, very wrong in our churches today.
Amen. Amen.
And he goes on with his elaboration that it's the focus and the foundational problem is on the lack of the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God.
I agree with that.
So much of what we see in the churches today, ladies and gentlemen, is entertainment. Entertainment. Music that's designed to work up a frenzy. Music that's designed to work on the emotion. Music that's designed to cause one to feel more spiritual than he really is. In fact, there are those that will dance around in church, waving the hands. There are a few verses, by the way, that talk about the hands being raised. We'll talk about that in a moment. You might ask the question, can you raise your hands in church in worship? Yes. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, can you picture a worship service? Someone raises their hands. I remember Dr. Harwood Steele, who was one of the professors at Luther Rice University, one of my Old Testament professors. He would visit with us in our services. His church, where he pastored, didn't have Sunday night services. He would visit with us in our Sunday evening services. And as I would preach, or as we would sing, he would sit there silently with his head bowed and just lifting his hands kind of to the level of the shoulders with his hands open. In other words, a symbol, an indication of I'm in humility before God, honoring the Lord, and open to receive from God what God's Word is saying to me. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have so many, Pastor Davis, today that will raise their hands. They see someone else raising their hands, and they want to outdo the neighbor, so they raise them a little taller. And then they see that they're those that are raising the, and they'll stand up so they can have theirs above the others. And before you know it, there's a competition, unsaid, Amen. Unspoken, but very visible competition. Who can leap the highest? Who can wave the arms the highest? Who can look more spiritual? That is not worship.
Amen.
It is not
Amen.
Worship.
Amen. And another thing, Dr. Youngblood, they have made the church a fashion show.
That's right.
You know, a lot of times people come in, and I believe they intend to be late for church a lot of times.
That's right.
Because when they come in dressed to kill.
And want everybody to see them.
And some of the ladies, it's sad to say it's in the church.
Yeah.
When they walk down the middle of that aisle, you can see the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Mm-hmm.
That split is so high up the back
mm-hmm.
and up the sides and up in the front. That should not be.
Not in our church, no.
Scripture say, amen, in the book of Timothy, that we ought to dress as becometh holiness.
Amen.
When we go back through the scripture, there is a dress code in the scripture.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Even when God told Moses what to tell the priest what to wear, he told him to make sure that the priest had on undergarments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Long right. handles.
Long handles, absolutely.
That's our long held today.
That's right.
Amen. So that when they approached the altar, I wouldn't see their nakedness mm-hmm. and they wouldn't die because of their sin.
That's right.
See, we have to understand, God's got it right.
He's got it right.
He always had it right, but all we have to do is, again, keep in context with what the scripture says.
Amen.
So we don't need to do these kind of things, because when we do that, then we have to know there's an absence of the Spirit. That's the reason why I thank God for that message on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have the Spirit? Where is the Spirit
mm-hmm.
in all of this? I heard you talk about the rock concerts that go on at church.
Right.
And they call this praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're full of tattoos and that's not God.
No.
There's no Spirit, not the real Spirit of God.
Not the Spirit of God.
We have
no.
to know and understand the Bible says that there are many spirits out mm-hmm. in the world.
You need to be careful of them.
So let us not be deceived, amen? Mm-hmm. Let us keep it in context with the Scripture.
Amen. Pastor, I'm looking at a verse that is one that I think is appropriate. Hebrews 12:28 says, we are to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I'm looking at an article. It says, what is the biblical theology of worship? A biblical theology of worship is based on the Bible's overall teaching concerning worship and adoration of God. having a biblical theological idea of worship is very important. Not everything that is called worship is actually worship today.
Amen. Amen.
This writer goes further to say this: the church that does not operate under the biblical theology of worship is in danger of failing to give God glory and failing to offer worship that is pleasing to God Himself. Worship is a misunderstood doctrine as any within the church. Contrary to popular belief, worship does not begin and end with singing of our church services. There are a lot of people today, Pastor, that kind of befuddles me, that the music minister is called the worship leader. He's not the worship leader. The pastor's the worship leader.
Amen.
The minister of music leads the worship, leads the singing, and the singing should be designed to get our focus on honoring and reverencing and submitting and humbling ourselves before God, not a start of entertainment in the church. I believe I have Jen on the line. Jen, go with the question or comment, please.
Hello, Jen. Hello, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I've been listening to your segment on biblical worship, and I've been going to this church for 25 years, and their music has gone. I don't know where it's gone. But I go to church, you know, to pursue Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God, you know?
Amen.
That's all.
Well, Jen, let me ask you a question while I'm on the line. I don't want to put you on the spot, but you say you go to a church where it's unusual, and I understood extraordinary from the standpoint of the music. Are you talking about having the loud, blaring rock and roll entertainment music?
Yes, I am.
I believe that's one of the most dishonoring, disdainful acts that could be taking place in churches today that I believe personally is a stench in the nostrils of God. It's a show of self. It is entertainment. It is something that is designed to work up the emotions of a person to somehow leave and think that we've worshiped.
Mm-hmm.
A worship can take place without music, but it cannot take place without the Word of God being prepared in the hearts of the hearer that will be willing to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, Isaiah 2:8, God is warning that the worship, the works of their hands, the Scripture says. And we need to be careful with that.
Yes.
Jen, did you have something that you wanted to add?
Yes, what I wanted to add was when I go to church, you know, I want to spend 10 minutes unwinding and just letting the Spirit talk to me. And they've got this computer screen with a countdown when the music is going to blast off.
Wow.
And then...
it's like being at a rock and roll concert, isn't it?
Yeah, right. And then when the pastor starts to pray, I'm listening, and the music director is in the background playing this loud music, and I can't even hear what he's saying.
See, what you're saying, Jen, is some of the major things that's taking place. We're watching a tectonic change in our churches today in what is called the fundamentals of worship. We are not worshiping. Most churches, they're designed around some type of entertainment to wow, that's the big W-O-W, to wow individual into thinking they have had an experience with God. And it's the farthest thing from that. Jen, my recommendation is to pray and to seek God's face and direction into where He would have you to be so you can hear the Word of God, preach, proclaimed, explained, and where there can be a sense of biblical worship so that you can grow in the Word of God.
Amen.
Jen, thank
you
so much for your call today. I believe we have Raymond on the line. Raymond, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, thanks for taking today. I appreciate your program and all that you do for your community, for God and country.
Amen.
In full disclosure, I want to, you know, let the listeners know that, you know, you and I are friends and have been for a long time. And
less than 100 years.
Yeah, that's right. And so, but just so everybody knows where I'm coming from, you know, I'm from the Church of God, that headquarters out of Cleveland, Tennessee. So we're Pentecostal holiness folk, and so, you know, we can get a little rowdy, but that's not what I'm calling about. But it's interesting that just today I hear you discussing this topic, and I want to make two quick points to kind of warn listeners of what's going on. You know, you and I like to call them, I got it from you, the cotton candy churches, you know.
Yep, right.
Some of that, I just shared an article a couple days ago that was discussing some of this issue with this huge news story of the lawsuit with Celebration Church. And the article reveals that some of these churches, or a lot of them, these new large mega churches that are the hip hop, rock and roll, cotton candy, you know, churches that are full of absolutely lost, totally unbiblical, more younger crowds, are from a group that's called ARC churches. Okay. Mm-hmm. ARC, ARC. And the ARC group in that article I shared, and I can share it on your Facebook page, what it really reveals, kind of accidentally, but is that, see, this ARC, it's a, you know, a group of churches that really, it was businessmen. They are franchising businesses, mm-hmm. and it has a complete business model. No gospel center. It is completely seeker sensitive. So they are basically a bank that will fund your startup for your, you know, cotton candy worldly church to get all these young people in a hip hop entertainment place. So that's what's happening. But my other point I wanted to make, to be specific, is it's interesting you're talking about this, the music thing. Just yesterday, I saw a sponsored, meaning a paid ad, from a local ARC church called Elevate Life, one of the worst offenders around, the worst in that I know of in Duval County, whom their pastor came from the Church of God, the same organization that I came from, and is completely, in the most heretical way, left any kind of Bible-based theology or at all.
So that's happening all over America.
Right. Their ad was, come to our new series. Now, let me back up and say that it's become a popular thing to have at the movies weekend, where they supposedly will, they're going to show a secular Hollywood demonic film and then preach gospel truths out of this Hollywood film. Mm. Well, now this Elevate Life, just in this coming weekend, or it's either this weekend or next, it's funny, they had their little logo and it looked just like it was a mimic of the old 1990s MTV, which was all the heavy metal rock and roll, and it's now the music, the jams is what they called it. So now they're bragging about they're going to have this secular music and service, and then we're going to preach about these so-called find out biblical truths in this secular music. And, of course, they always advertise, I mean, half the year, if you go to this particular church, they advertise, come bring your children to see their favorite animated Disney characters. You know, and I mean, it is the most.
My God.
That says it all.
It's unbelievable.
It is. That says it all, Raymond. One of the things, in fact, Franklin Graham just recently, I believe it was in the May issue of Decision Magazine, said these progressive churches with progressive Christianity, with the woke culture, sending more people to hell than Satan ever dreamed possible. I find that
Amen.
To be absolutely true of what's happening today. One of the things that we see taking place today is the mass baptisms. In fact, I'm looking at an article. It is from the mass baptism at Bethel Church. A young woman was asked why she was being baptized and gave her name. She said, I'm Crystal. I know God is calling me to be a warrior for his animal kingdom. I am to lead the army of angels to protect the animals across the world. So I can't do it without God. I need to be baptized. Now, that's how deceived we have so many today into believing that this is the case. It is anemia in the relationship to the preaching and the teaching of the truth of the Word of God. Raymond, the scripture is very, very clear in Romans 1:25, who the scripture says, who charged the truth of God, it changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creatures more than the creation, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's what Amen. We see taking place. We see a fraudulent, fake. In fact, I've got a massive article. I don't have it before me. It says church has become a big business. Church has become a big business. And that's what you were alluding to earlier. And that's one of the problems right. we're finding. We're leaving the Word of God. We're leaving the worship of God. And we're going to a man-centered, not Christ-centered, worship as it is called today, if you could even call it worship. But it's not worshiping God. So it deserves our prayer, it deserves our consideration, deserves our grave concerns, and asking God to return us to that time where we worship Him. I've got a footnote, Raymond, that mm-hmm. I like to use in relationship to our singing is an act of worship if the words or expressions are focused on God and not on entertainment. Giving of tithes and offerings is an act of worship. The reading of the Scripture and the preaching of the Word are acts of worship. But it must come from the heart. It must be real in the heart and life of the individual. Raymond, I'll give you one more quote. This is a quote from a young woman that was asked by the commentator about her position on LGBTQ. Her name is Lauren Daigle, D-A-I-G-L-E, a popular singer. You might know the name. It says, what you think
totally
about the LGBTQ.
Popular singer, yeah.
Totally secular. I says, what do you think about the LGBTQ? She says, I can't honestly answer on that. I have too many friends that are in that way. I can't say, you see, I'm not God, end quote. And it's the mindset today.
But claims to be a Christian singer.
Embrace the world. Pardon?
But she claims to be a Christian singer.
Yes.
Huge story.
That's my point.
Yeah.
We have mega, major entertainment being thrust upon the churches today, and the problem is we have this younger generation that's anemic on what the Word of God says, so they embrace it based on feeling, based on entertainment, and not based on the facts of the Word of God. Raymond, brother, thank you so much for your insight. You're spot on with your commentary and what you're saying along that line. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that asked the question, I alluded to it earlier in the broadcast, should we raise our hands and clap our hands during worship? That's the question that I'm asking. I want to close with that thought on it because, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with raising the hands. Nothing wrong with that. It's appropriate to clap your hands. Is it appropriate to clap your hands in church? But I say be very, very careful because in most cases in Scripture, the clapping of hands is not in the temple or in the church and worship service. In fact, Psalms 47:1 is a good example. Is it okay to raise your hands in church? Absolutely, if it is not for show and shine, but a sense of submission and honor and reverence and recognition of God.
Amen.
Pastor
Amen.
Davis, we've got about 40 seconds. Close us out.
Basically, Dr. Youngblood, what you have said there kind of hit the nail on the head, and we just want to close this up real good to let everybody know, unregenerate people cannot lead worship and praise in the house of God. If they're not saved and filled with the Spirit and they don't know God, they can't lead others who have the Spirit of God into worship and praise if they do not know Him. Psalm 15:1-3 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. It goes on to say various other things in there, but it lets us know, Dr. Youngblood, we have to keep it in context with Scripture if we're going to worship God the way that the Scripture
Amen.
Says.
Amen. So, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 talks about what we need to do and how we need to respond. It says, this is your true and proper worship. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.3.